So today's Torah portion, Ki Tavo, and really it took me time to think about this message and even to think, do I want to share it or not with you? True. So let this message be literally a secret between us, okay? Yeah. And for all of you who is watching right now online, it is our secret between us, so do not tell anyone. This is the best way how to spread news, you know. Just to say it is secret, do not tell anyone. So we don't need any news. So today I want to talk about the measure of success in the eyes of the Lord. And it is not a popular message, and I know that it is sometimes it's too hard to listen, but I would like to ask you to consider to think about this message. Even if you disagree, it is good. If you will be a little bit angry, it is perfect. This is what I want. If you agree, it's also great. So, because we are mishpacha, we can share. Because, you know, so many things are going and happening around us. And it is so easy to watch such gospel, like you just turn on TV and you say, and you can see there, everything will be fine with you. You will be rich, you will be prosperous. You know, the Lord wants to do everything for you. You won't have any problems in your life. Everything's fine. Give you money. I heard these messages so many times on TV. So this message, completely different kind of. It's about reality of life. So the measure of success in the eyes of the Lord. The measure of success in the eyes of the Lord. I would like to start with Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. It is a very important message because I would like to take us to this place and to let us understand something very important here. Verse 1, Deuteronomy 28, 1. Now, if you listen obediently to the voice of Adonai your God, taking care to do all his mitzvot that I am commanding you today, Adonai your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Then all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you listen to the voice of Adonai your God. So, in the eyes of this world, successful people are those who have achieved outstanding results in their field, for sure. Who have money, who have position or property, etc. One of the definitions of successful person. Successful person is one who succeeds in life and has an extraordinary amount of social and financial capital to back up his success. So this kind of one of the explanations of successful person, and we can find many. I even can show you the point you on the source where to find. You can open your internet and just, what is it to be successful? And you will find many explanations. But today let's find about success in the Bible, in the eyes of the Lord. How is success usually measured in the scriptures? Maybe in an abundance of money and high positions in society? Or is success measured only by good relationships in the family? What about success in God's kingdom? How do we know if we are successful in the Lord, in the eyes of the Lord? How is success measured in the eyes of the Almighty, who created everything, who has everything? Remember the example of the victorious, handsome, and charismatic King Saul. Do you remember King Saul? Do you read about him? He was successful. He was charismatic. He was a great king at some point. And the young, unknown shepherd David, who had no success at that point. When the Lord rejected King Saul, he told the prophet Samuel these words. 1 Samuel 16:7. This is very important understanding to us. We need to know how the Lord is looking at us. For he, the Lord, does not see a man as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but Adonai looks into the heart. What a difference. What a difference. We are, when we see somebody, we can look at the outward appearance, but the Lord, He looks into the heart. So what does the Lord consider as success? So let's look at examples from the scriptures, because only there can we find the answer for us. Only Bible is the basis for our faith in God. The Bible, the scriptures, nothing else. If you want to find an answer, go into the scriptures. You'll find an answer from the Lord's point of view there. So one fascinating story, I believe, important story from the Bible is described in book of Mark, chapter 10. And I would like us to open, please, if you have your Bible with you, please open it, Mark chapter 10. If you have your phones with you, and for sure you have your phone with you, please open Mark chapter 10 and yeah, verses 17 through verse 20. And here's the story. As Yeshua was setting out on his way, and what's interesting here, it was his way. He was going on his way, doing his own will of his father. A man ran up to him, fell on his knees before him, and asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So we would like to know the answer for us too. What shall I do? Verse 18, "Why do you call me good?" Yeshua said to him, "No one is good except one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not cheat, honor your father and mother." The man responded, "Teacher, all these I have kept since my youth." Such a great story here. And for those of us who know continuation, if we would stop here, we would say, he is perfect. Can you imagine? Successful, perfect. What do you want? He's perfect. The young man was rich, we know it. And in the people's eyes, he was an example of prosperity and God's blessing. He had everything. He was perfect, nearly perfect. I'm sure that many looking at him said, "Look, the Lord is with him. How successful he is in the eyes of the Lord. There is so much God's blessing on him. He is rich, kept commandments, everything's perfect." What's even more interesting is that this young man kept the commandments. He was an exemplary person without external flaws. So people were looking at him as an example of God's blessing. Yeah, this is from people's point of view. So now let's look about God's point of view. Who knows the secret of our hearts? So the Lord, he knew the secret of this young man's heart. He looked in his heart. For this young man to be successful and blessed in the sight of the Lord, what did Yeshua tell him to do? Do you remember this story? Really tough story, yeah? I think many people try to skip this story as soon as possible. I mean, soon as possible. Just do not read carefully, because who knows what the Lord can tell you. Let's read verse 21. Looking at him, so here's the people, here's the successful young man, or the man, I don't know, was he young or not, but he was perfect, successful, rich, everything's fine. And here's the Lord looking at him. Looking at him, Yeshua loved him, and what's interesting, he loved him, and said, "One thing you lack. Go, sell as much as you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." And verse 22. But at this statement, the man became sad and went away grieving, for he had much property. What a sad story. Then looking around, Yeshua says to his disciples, how hard it is will be for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed because they were seeing this young man as an example of God's blessing upon him. It was obvious for them. So they were amazed at his words. What's going on here? Yeshua, something wrong. But Yeshua answered again and says to them, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is hard. The young man went away from Yeshua. What a sad story. How tragic it is when a person, because of his apparent success and prosperity, because of his wealth, leaves the Savior. It is a sad story. He leaves the Savior. In the eyes of Yeshua, the money and material success of this young man did not mean anything. Nothing. What people so admired, which they considered a sight of God's blessing, became the cause of spiritual death and falling away from the Messiah for this young man. His money became a tragedy for him. Remember the following verses of Mark chapter 10, next verses, 26. The disciples were even more astonished, saying among themselves, then who can be saved? Then who can be saved? This perfect person. So if he can't, who can be saved? Looking at them, Yeshua said, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. Peter began to say to him, look, we've left everything to follow you. Verse 29. Amen, I tell you, Yeshua replied, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100 times as much now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and property, along with persecutions, which is interesting. It's not only about richness. And in the Olam Haba, world to come, eternal life. So I would like to be clear here. Do not be afraid. I don't try to sell something here. I'm sure the Lord is not teaching us not to work. I don't think so. It is not a story about this thing. I don't think he's teaching us to be poor or abandon our families. This is not about this. This is a different story. It is good when we have enough finances. It's a great thing. It's good when we have a successful career in our life. It is a good thing. When we have a strong family, it is a good thing. When we love our parents, and the Bible teaches us about all these things, to be successful at your work, to be prosperous, to gain success, to love your family, this is the scriptures to us. But Yeshua, through this story, wants to teach us about our trust, our faith, our trust, our hope. He shows us where to put our hope, how to maintain our faith. It is an important lesson for us. He is helping us to understand whom we put on the first and most important place in our lives. It is His teaching, he teaches us. The truth is that what is in the throne of your heart controls your whether you want it or not. Who is in control? It is important to remember that. The truth is that what is your leading you, what is in your heart will lead you. If there is hope in money, only in money, then what will happen to you if you lose your money? Where would you go? If you live only for a career and are ready to compromise your conscience and faith to achieve success, Who will you become if something happened to you and your job will be taken from you? Who will you become if your hope only in this? If you live only for the sake of your family and neglect the scriptures, remember, love the Lord with all your heart. Or the people around you, remember, love your neighbor as yourself. Then how can you lead your family to faith in God? Think about how selfish your children will grow if it is only in your life. So we should be an example and strive for the best. We need to work and prosper, to love our family, but at the same time, and this is very important, our hope, our faith, our future should be built only on Yeshua. Please think about it. It is so important. I mean, it is so simple, but it is the heart of New Testament. You can have everything, but read Matthew chapter 24. You'll find that it's possible to lose everything. Read book of Hebrews. It is possible to go through tribulation in your life. But the most important, to build your faith, your trust, your life upon faith in Yeshua. And faith in Yeshua will lead you through anything in your life. Your life like a ship sailing in the sea. Sometimes it's a quiet and calm sea, like, you remember, 2019. Everything was predictable, you know. I'm sure 2019 we would think about 2020 and it would be a great year for us. 2021, we will achieve so many things. World will be so wonderful place. But look what happened in 2020, 2021. I don't know what will happen in 2022. I'm sorry for that. I don't know. But if your faith built upon Yeshua, you will remain your faith. You will remain your trust in the Lord. So sometimes it is quiet and calm sea. Sometimes it is raging sea and reefs around you. But if Yeshua is the captain of your ship, everything will be fine with you. Everything. So let's look at another story from the Bible, the life of Job. Wow. Actually, it's a very difficult book to read. Personally, for me, it's very emotional. Sometimes I'm crying when I read this book, too. I can't just read it fast enough to not cry. What do you think? Was Job prosperous and blessed or not? What do you think? Oh. You know why? Because we know the end of the story. Yeah? But what about Job at that time? So let us read about his prosperous time, chapter 1, verses from 13 to 22. Prosperity of Job. A messenger came to Job, it's verse 14, chapter 1. A messenger came to Job saying, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing near them, when the Sabaeans attacked and carried them off. They also killed the servants with the edge of the sword. I alone escaped to tell you." And you know how it can be. Misfortunes never come alone. Sometimes it comes with something else. So verse 16. While this one, right after the first bad news, at the same moment, while this one was still speaking, another came in and said, "The fire of God has fallen from heaven and had burned up the sheep and servants. It has consumed them, and I alone escaped to tell you." Verse 17, this is not the end of tribulation. While this one was still speaking, another came in and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands and raided the camels and took them all away. They also killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I, only I alone, escaped to tell you. And this is not the end. Verse 18. Can you imagine how many difficult things happened to Job? While this one was still speaking, another came in and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine at their older brother's house. When suddenly a mighty wind came from beyond the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it collapsed on the young people, and they died. And I, only I alone, escaped to tell you. And verse 20, it is an amazing verse. It is an amazing verse. Then Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground, and worshipped. What an amazing person. He worshipped the Lord. Then he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return there. Adonai gave, and Adonai has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a faith. What a trust. What a man of God. This was not the end of Job's sufferings. Let us read chapter 2, verse 7 through 10. So the Satan departed from the presence of Adonai and afflicted Job with painful boils, from the sole of his foot to the top of his head. He took a piece of broken pottery to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. So here's his wife is coming to him. Verse 9. So can you imagine how bad it was for him? It happened from all the sides. Then his wife said to him, because for her it was a curse from the Lord. She was sure this is the problem. I mean, where is the Lord in all of this? So she said to him, are you still holding firmly to your integrity? Curse God and die. It's enough for you. He said to her, you speak as any foolish woman would speak. Should we accept the good from God and not accept the bad? Through all this, Job did not sin with his lips. So, here's the lesson. I know it's a very hard story, but I don't want to compare us with Job or with young men. We all have different stories. But an idea here. In the people's eyes, in the eyes of his wife, even his friends, believing friends, Job was cursed and crushed by God. They were sure. He was forgotten and rejected by the Lord in their eyes. It is obvious. Look what happened to him. There was a complete defeat in his life, and he lost everything. Do you remember his believing friends? Good believing friends. They were such a blessing for Job. I mean, he was dying there, and there came, you sinner. I mean, if you take all their discussions and put in one word, you will say, you sinner, Job. You need to find your sin. How bad you are. Guys. The believing friends tried to find some problem in Job, pushed him into self-condemnation and a sense of guilt. They pushed him to feel guilt before the Lord. And you know, I had a lot of experience with people who died because of cancer or some other problems, and I know that the biggest thing is that you feel guilt, self-condemnation. Maybe some hidden sin there. And this tormented. You are a believer. You need to rejoice because you will see the Lord. He forgave you. He gave you eternal life. He's your Father, loving Father, who is ready to embrace you in his forever life. And here's the tormentor. an awful experience. They were convinced that there must be a secret sin, some door through which all these diseases and defeats came into the life of Job. They were sure about this. It reminds me of the thoughts of self-condemnation that come to the mind of a sincere believer going through the valley of death in his life. We need to trust the Lord. We can't go to self-condemnation. This is not the way to go. People were talking about Job. Look, what a shame. Where is his God? Look at him. He is a loser. I have a question for you. Did it seem to you like a success and a blessing in the life of Job at that moment? No? For me too. But what does the Lord say about him? At the same moment, he went through difficult times. Let us read Job 2, verse 3. Then Adonai said to the Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth." So look at here. People see him as a cursed, but the Lord, he's amazed by Job. He's saying, "There is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and spurns evil. And he still holds firmly to his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason." So the Lord looks at Job as a person who is perfect, who is blameless, who is successful, who is blessed more than anyone on this earth. It is a completely different view, people's view and the Lord's view. In the eyes of the Lord, Job was the most successful man on the earth because Job's hope and faith were not in his money, not in his own family, not in his health, but in God alone. So he built his faith upon the Lord and he was faithful. When Job was going through difficulties, he did not know what was happening in heaven at that moment. He had no idea that Satan came to the presence of the Lord trying to blame him. He was on the earth without any knowledge. He went through difficulties, but in trust to the Lord. He did not know about spiritual warfare in the heavenly places, that Satan was trying to accuse him in the eyes of God. Job saw suffering and trials around him, but he remained faithful to God. He did not curse the Lord in his heart. So, here's the story. We later found the answer to why all this happened. Later, in the chapter 42. Let us open chapter 42. Verse 1 and 6. But remember, when you open this verse and chapter, Job 42, verse 1 through 6. Remember, while it was happening to Job, there was no book of Job. There was no book of Job, and specifically chapter 42. So Job had to live through this in his own life. He had to be faithful until chapter 42. Verse 1. Job answered Adonai and said, "I know you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You ask, 'Who is this who darkens counsel without knowledge?' Surely I spoke without understanding things too wonderful for me which I did not know. You said, 'Hear now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you will inform me.' I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent on dust and ashes." So the answer to why all this happened to Job is in verse 5. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen you. So the Lord came to Job, and Job was able to see the Lord. It was the time for Job. The Lord became a comforter and source of salvation for him. He restored his life. So the Lord looks at our success in a completely different way. Do you remember this place of Scripture, Matthew 16:26? For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So here's the truth. A pure and a damaged soul is more valuable before the Lord than all the riches of the universe. Pure and a damaged soul, full of faith. A successful person knows how to go through difficulties and times when it seems that the world is collapsing and there is no future. It is part of success to go in trust to the Lord. So let us briefly look at lessons from Job's life. So here's our Job's milestones of success. The first, he remains humble before the Lord. Do you remember when everything happened to him? So he got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, and, you know, next thing you would read, he blamed the Lord for everything, or he was cursing everything. But here it says, fell to the ground and worshipped. It's an amazing story. So many things happened to him, and he just fell to the ground and worshiped, which means that his heart was pure, without rebel against the Lord. So he worshiped, and by this Job expressed his dependence on the Lord. Next thing, he didn't blame people and himself. He didn't blame anyone. So instead of blaming, he worshiped the Lord. He gave the glory to the Lord without blaming anyone. People, his wife. Maybe it is my wife. Who knows? Maybe I was a righteous man and she was doing something wrong. This is why everything happened to me. Or maybe it's my neighbor, you know. He is cursing me always. Maybe it is him. Or maybe it is me. I don't know what's happened to me. It was not in his heart. He was pure. He said, Lord, thank you so much for everything. And the last thing, an important thing, the most important, Job continued to believe, prophetically looked at the atoning sacrifice of the Messiah. I believe he knows about Messiah. He knew about Messiah. Why I think about it? Because in Job chapter 19, let us open Job chapter 19. This is the prophetic place of Scripture. Job 19, verses 25 through 27. This is the good news, New Testament, in the book of Job. This is the message of hope for us. Verse 25. Yet I know that my Redeemer lives, and in the end he will stand on earth. It is about Yeshua who will come. Even after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. It is about second resurrection, about resurrection from death. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I, and not a stranger, my heart grows weak within me. Wow, what a faith. So today we looked at two opposite examples from the Bible. One of the story about a wealthy young man whom everyone considered prosperous and blessed, but who turned out to be a complete loser from the Lord's point of view with everything. And another story from the life of Job, whom everyone considered loser, cursed and forgotten by the Lord, but who saw God face to face and turned out to be the most blessed person on the face of the earth. And here's the story. I would like for you to be careful. I do not want us right now, please, I don't want us to compare ourselves with Job or with this young man who was rich. I don't want to do this. We don't need to to think about ourselves like about Job, like, okay, Lord, I need more persecutions, I need more problems. Do not do this. You are not a Job. It was his job, actually, to go through this. We are different. I don't want us to compare. I don't want us to give away all our possessions as the wealthy young man. Each of us has our unique path, our own trials, and our own difficulties. We are called to go our own ways and our own paths to go. Each of us has his calling, which is different from the young man calling in the Bible or calling of Job. But what I want to say today is written in today's chapter from the Torah. So what means to be blessed by the Lord and be prosperous? This is Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. When people read Deuteronomy 28, they think about money, you know, this thing and that thing will come to you. But the answer is in the verse 1. This is what means to be blessed and prosperous in the eyes of the Lord. It's in the verse 1. Now, if you listen obediently to the voice of Adonai your God, this is the answer. Prosperous people, those who are listening obediently to the Lord your God, who are following him. The success and blessing of a person in the eyes of God are in being able to hear the voice of God, to obey him, to walk the way of Messiah in his life. And if you are going through difficult times, or it looks like the Lord forgets you, please do not be quick to condemn yourself. Or it's if somebody is in a difficult spot, do not judge him. You can be wrong and don't see the hand of God. It is possible. This is how success is measured in the Bible. Listen to the voice of the Lord and obey him. Be in the place the Lord called you to be and do his will. And remember, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Amen. Amen. I would like to pray for us here. And again, I don't want to compare us with Job or with this young man, but just think about your life. Think about your life. If you're going through difficult times, don't be quick to judge yourself or self-condemn yourself. The best way to go as Job, give thanks to the Lord and ask him, stand in his presence. Go through difficult times with the Lord. He will help you. Put your trust on the Lord. He's ready to receive your trust. He's trustworthy. Lord, I thank you for your mishpacha, Lord. I thank you for your congregation, Lord. I thank you for your presence in this place, Lord. Lord, we are going through difficult times. We are going through 2021, this year full of different things happening around us, Lord. Lord, we ask, help us, Lord, to put our trust in you. Help us to build our lives around you, Lord, on you, Lord. Help us to give glory and give thanks to you for everything, Lord. Help us to remain faithful, Lord, to be faithful in your kingdom, Lord. Help us to be people of God whose trust, not in money, not in possessions, but in you, Lord. Help us to go with you, Lord, through everything, Lord. Be with us, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. Amen. In the end, I want to remind you if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. And let us stand and close our service with Aaron's blessing right now. Yivrecha Adonai v'ishmerecha, Yair Adonai panavalecha v'ichunecha, Yisa Adonai panavalecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Shabbat shalom, Mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.